Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Mason. Yeah, the Lord has sure been good to us, hasn't he? And yeah, we're going to go through difficult times as part of what this life's all about. But the Lord's always there. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And what a great promise that is. So he's certainly been good to me all the years in my life. And I'm so grateful for what I have in him. As I mentioned a little earlier, do you remember which book we're going to be in? Jonah, there you go. Yes, the book of Jonah. In my Bible, it's right at 850, so I don't know if that works for you or not, but I bet it might get you close. Actually, 849 is the page number. All right, the book of Jonah. You know, probably no book of the Bible has been met with more scorn than the book of Jonah. Although, you know, you would also say the book of Genesis. There's a lot of people that just laugh, unbelievers that laugh about these books, certainly other books as well. But I love how quickly it's dispelled when you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ himself, how he authenticates the book and Jonah as just being factual, everything that took place. He used Jonah as a type of his own literal death and resurrection. I'll just read Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. We won't turn there because we'll just stick there to the book of Jonah right now. But listen to what the Lord Jesus said about Jonah and about what took place with him. Matthew 12, 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The Lord made it very, very clear that that took place. People that like to mock and ridicule, "Oh, no way could a whale swallow a man like that, and he, be in the belly for 3 days, three nights. That's just crazy." No, it's actually happened before, okay? But the Lord made it very, very clear that that's something that took place, and that something indeed happened. And what a picture that is of the Lord's death, a burial, and resurrection. Now, even though Jonah, now eventually he does turn out to obey the Lord, but Jonah was certainly not a good example, not at the get-go, because we're going to certainly see that. If you know the book of Jonah and the story, we know how that all takes place. He was not a good example of obedience unto the Lord, but God in his great wisdom and in his great might will use even our disobedience, Jonah's, or our own foolishness in such a way that he will make sure that it brings glory to himself. The Lord is good to do that. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where it says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So God does not have any foolishness about him, nor does he have any weakness. But if he were to, it's way beyond what anything that man can deliver. And that's what that statement is saying. So we're going to go ahead and look here at the beginning of this book. And the message, the title of this message is Jonah, a tough lesson in obedience. A tough lesson in obedience. But I believe it's something that we can relate to when we take a look at what took place here in Jonah's life. And right here at the beginning of the book, there's no wasted words, just a very clear command from God. We'll read these first couple of verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. It says here in Jonah chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And with that, let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank you, and we are grateful for the opportunity to be here today. What a blessing it is to interact and fellowship with one another. Thank you that we can sing praises unto you. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson that we heard, the adult Sunday school class on Psalm chapter 19. What a blessing that was to me. And I thank you, Lord, that we can have this service, and we can open up your book again. And we thank you, Lord, for what we just heard just a little bit ago, that great special about how good you've been to us through the years. And any of us that have known you for any amount of time know how faithful you are. You love us. Thank you that you work with us. Thank you that when we've pulled the Jonah on you, you were patient, but you dealt with us as a father does his children. And I thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that as we look at this book here, at least in this first chapter today, that you would bless it. You'd speak to our hearts for those of us that know you, for those of us that are your children, sons and daughters. Would you help us to be able to get right into this book here today and speak to our hearts? And I would pray for anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, if there are those in that category, that you'll work in their hearts and show them how they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need your Son. They need to be saved. And I pray, Father, for them that they'll come to trust Christ as their Savior. So we pray that you'll bless this time now in your word. I pray again that you would set me to the side. I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. And may the Spirit of God do his work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that I'm going to bring forth is this command that the Lord gives to Jonah right off the bat. He says, go, arise, and go to Nineveh. It's a tough order, all right? That's my first point, a tough order that he's giving to Jonah, and that is to go to Nineveh. 40 days, he says, you shall be destroyed. Now, it doesn't say that in those first two verses, but if you were to turn to chapter 3, after he comes out of the whale's belly and he gets that the marching orders again, that's clearly what it says, that his message was 40 days, repent, 40 days, you'll be destroyed. Now, why is it a tough order? Well, there's a few reasons why it's a tough order. First of all, for Jonah, this command that he's been given to go and to preach unto the city of Nineveh, for them to repent was not being brought to Jews. These were Assyrians. So first of all, these were not even his people. And you know, the Jews had a way of looking down at everybody else, all right? That's just how they were. And the Assyrians obviously were not Jews. Another thing, a big thing about the Assyrians is they were a very cruel people. They were a very cruel people, and the Jews knew that firsthand from the Assyrians themselves. So they were not a good people. They were very, very cruel in their treatment of others. And then, thirdly, I'm sure that he must have had a bit of fear just to go to a strange country and to have to go to that city of Nineveh and to preach the message that he was going to preach. No doubt there was some fear in his heart. Listen, have you ever had a tough order to perform, a tough order that was given to you? Maybe it was a tough order to perform from your boss. Maybe your boss said, I'm going to give you something that you need to take care of. You need to get together with so-and-so, and you're going to terminate them. You're going to have to fire somebody. Now, I won't ask you if you've ever had to fire somebody, but that's not something that you really relish to do. If you do, maybe you've got something to deal with. There's an issue maybe that needs to be dealt with. But maybe it's something that, something along those lines, or something completely different, but it was something that you had to deal with, something that you had to take care of, something that you had to do that was not an easy thing to do. It was a tough order. It was a tough job. How many of you have heard the name Mike Rowe, right? Dirty Jobs. I don't know if you've ever watched that program. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yes, there are a lot of jobs that people do that nobody else wants to do. And I like how that show showcases that. I'm sure that's probably still being aired. I haven't seen it in quite some time. But I appreciate some people will do some things that nobody else wants to touch. Have you had a tough order in your life, maybe even lately? Well, Jonah definitely had a tough order. I think about others in the Bible. We could come up with a whole lot of illustrations or examples in regard to that. I think about Moses. Moses had a tough order. He made it a little bit more difficult. You remember when the Lord spoke to him at that burning bush, and then beyond that, about how he was going to use him to deliver Israel from Egypt? You remember that in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses didn't get right in line with all of that. Moses says in verse 10 of chapter 4, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech. You can't be serious. You want to use me? I can't articulate very well. Verse 11, the Lord says, well, who hath made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? Yeah, I think Moses was like starting to lose the argument, don't you think? He certainly was. But verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. You know what he's saying? Oh, could you please use Aaron? Aaron could be the one. He would do a fine job. And then verse 14 of chapter 4, it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Because Moses just kept making excuse after excuse. How many of you here, and I will ask for a show of hands here, how many of you have used some excuses with God? Yeah, my hand's up as well. I think many of us, that was a majority of you. Thank you for being honest. Listen, there are things in our life that, you know, it just seems a little beyond us. And we don't want to have to go down that road. And so we struggle and we come up with this excuse. We try to rationalize it. Well, certainly you didn't mean me, Lord. You know, I don't have any expertise in that field. There's just no way. The Lord's like, I know that. That's why I want to take you down that road. That's why I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. Has he ever taken you out of your comfort zone? The Lord's good at doing that. And why would he do that? Maybe it's so that we'll learn how to trust him and learn how to allow him to develop our faith. Amen? Your quiet is typical. All right. I'm having a hard time reading you today. Listen, the Lord does that. The Lord has shown us throughout his word there are many, many individuals that had to deal with those difficult marching orders, some difficult tasks that had to be performed or done. You think about, what do you think Abraham's greatest difficulty would have been? Maybe the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Don't you think that may have been a little bit difficult? And yet, Abraham rose up to that the occasion. Certainly, he had to have some misgivings at some point, but he trusted God, and God blessed him. What a great example of faith that he is. What about Joseph and his brethren and the trials that he went through? You think about the things that he was subjected to and his brother's betrayal of him, and you think about what he was called to do. No, not an easy thing to do. It was a struggle for him. How about Daniel and his situation? Situations. He had to deal with many things. Challenges. Tough orders. Listen, if you haven't had one yet, you will get one. Okay? If you have any determination at all to want to serve the Lord, there's going to be a tough order that is sent your way. So we see Jonah has a tough order that's set out before him. And the second thing that I want to bring out is just the words decision time. Decision time. A time to make a decision when God gives us those difficult orders. Now, I can think about a number of things in my life that I didn't want to go down that road. I didn't feel I was fit to, you know, when God was beginning to lay it on my heart to preach, I thought, no, really? I mean, I hated being up in front of folks, and you know I've said that before. And God uses many an individual like that to get them out of their comfort zone. So when God begins to start pressing upon you and I about going down a particular road, well, there's a time for a decision to be made. A time for a decision on our part. Now, every one of God's people have to come to a time when they will choose to obey or not to obey. We take a look at Jonah. We see, and we probably know his response if you know the book of Jonah. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, we'll take a look at this real quickly. Hebrews chapter 3. So Hebrews chapter 3, let's take a look at verses 7 through 10. It says here, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." All right, he's referring back to the wilderness testings. He says, as in the provocation, "in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." So the author of Hebrews, whether that was Paul or whoever it was exhorting the Jews to follow the Lord by faith, not follow the example of the Jews back in the wilderness where they didn't follow the Lord by faith. So he's saying, make the right decision here. Make the right decision to do what is right. Well, Jonah makes the wrong decision. Jonah, because, again, it was a tough order for him. He hated the Assyrians. He didn't want to go. You know, when you get to the end of the book and some great things have happened, he's not excited about it all. He's not excited when you get to chapter 4, the last chapter in the book of Jonah. So he doesn't want this to happen, and he is totally reluctant about going. In fact, he goes the exact opposite way. He gets on board a ship and goes the other way. And this was not a subtle veering to the right or a subtle veering to the left. Instead, it was a complete 180 from what he was supposed to do. He went ahead and said, "You want me to go that way? I'm going that way." I mean, it was about as clear as you can make it. His decision was, "I'm not even going to go near that way." You know, sometimes we, in our response to the Lord, we might dabble around here and there, and kind of mosey around about what God's wanting us to do, and kind of peek ahead. "That's what you want me to do?" But there might be times when you and I have just said, "No way!" And we turn and we just do a 180 and we go the complete opposite direction. I won't ask for a show of hands, but maybe that's happened to you. That's exactly what Jonah has done. Jonah's just said, "I'm not going to do that." He just totally resists God, totally rejects what God's called him to do. It wasn't this dabbling around and wondering if he's going to do it. It was cut and run and go the other direction. And let me just say this, you can't outrun God. You can't outrun God. And I'm saying this to a group of people that are here in church, but yet I know this well enough that you could be here in church and be here every week, and yet inside your heart you could be a Jonah right now inside your heart about some things that God's looking to do in your life, and you're just pushing him off. And you're here every Sunday, you're here every service, but yet inside you're pulling a Jonah right now, and God's working on your heart. And God is very patient, is he not? He's always patient. So maybe you have this tough call before you, and let me encourage you to just simply trust God. I want to just challenge you to trust God. And I know this from my own personal experience that, I don't want to go down that road, Lord. You know that. But I know on many occasions that I've just taken it to the Lord and said, "You've got to help me, Lord, help me. Because I don't want to go down that road." And the Lord is gracious to do that. The Lord is always gracious. It's always good to just talk it over with him. And here's a good prayer, by the way. Think about this. This is a good prayer. "Lord, I am not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing." And if you pray that prayer, the Lord honors that. The Lord says, "I know, I see that. I see that this is a difficult thing." And the Lord's gracious. Is he not long-suffering? He certainly is. He's long-suffering. He's been long-suffering with me all throughout the years that I've been saved. He was long-suffering with me before I got saved. But he certainly has been long-suffering with me through the years that I've known him. And so he sees that in our hearts. He sees that we're digging in our heels, but God's gracious. And if we'll simply pray, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to do your will, but I'm struggling. That just looks so fearful for me. I just feel that I'm going to be so vulnerable going down that road. The Lord says, I'll be with you. Did not I make man's mouth, as he said to Moses? So now we're going to see a third thing, and that's the consequences from decisions. The consequence of Jonah's decision, the consequence of our decisions, when we do what we see Jonah has done here. In verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Listen, there are some people that wonder why they are in the predicament that they are in. I've seen it over and over. I've asked myself that question at times throughout my life as a Christian. You've heard the saying, and I think I even brought it up a week ago about Adam and Eve, but you've heard the saying, you've made your bed, now you must lie in it. Right? It is so true. It's absolutely true. More often than not, our own decisions have gotten us where we are. The decisions we have made have put us in the place where you and I are at right now. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a clear principle that God has placed upon us. He's placed into nature. He's placed into this life that, folks, whatever it is that we sow, we're going to reap one day. And we've put ourselves in the positions that we're at because, for the most part, probably some poor decision-making. Would you not agree? Have you ever made some bad decision-making in regard to a purchase of something? Okay, hopefully you're thinking, hopefully it's on the lower level, the example that you're thinking of, yeah, one day I tried a Rocky Road candy bar, and that was like the worst. I don't know, I never go for those anymore. Those are just the worst, okay, by the way. But maybe your bad decision-making was like buying a car. I mean, I bought a car one time from a neighbor. This was back at we were in our very first home, and the neighbor was selling the car, and I thought, oh, man, a Buick Skylark. What a beautiful color and everything. I like the color in it. I mean, I checked it out, it was a lemon. It was a lemon big time. And it's like, why didn't I get somebody to really check this out for me? I just thought it looked pretty cool. It looked pretty neat. You're looking at me again like, this has never happened to you. How many of you have, impulse buying? Yeah. Some of you ladies might know about that. Have your instincts ever led you wrong? Not you. No hand got raised. But us guys, we don't trust we didn't get good instincts from God, okay? He gave them all to the ladies. But I have a feeling there might have been a few purchases that were made where you're saying, I shouldn't have made that, right? Help me out here, right? Don't leave me hanging up here. Listen, we've all made some bad decisions. And Jonah's decision is about to put him into a position that he never dreamed about. You think Jonah would have thought about what was going to happen to him? Not in his wildest dream. He's gotten on a boat that's destined for wherever God is not. Wherever God is not. And folks, that's not a good place. That's not a good place to sail toward. Amen? It's not. I'll help you out. Brother Garcia, Pastor Garcia, that is so on cue. That is just so right. Amen. Amen. Wherever God is not a boat you want to get on. If you're going to go on a cruise, and that cruise, the ship says, wherever God is not, I'm going to get my money back. And I would encourage you to get your money back. Amen. Right? All right. So it's not a good place to go and sail that direction. Again, just ask the prodigal son who headed off into the far country. What does it say about him in Luke chapter 15 and verse 16? It says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Because he went away that was far away from God. He went into a direction that he never should have gone. And folks, I know that there are times when we've made that same decision. So just as God has dealt with the prodigal, so too he's going to deal with Jonah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For God to chasten you and I, yeah, we're his children, but it's not a good place to be when God is having to put a licking on us. As he does it in love. And he does it to discipline us and to get us going in the right direction. But I've never liked going down that road. How many of you have enjoyed that? No, it's not a good thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He sends out this mighty tempest, as we just read in verse 4, that shakes the ship to its core. And the ship is all of a sudden, things are just going every direction. Is God shaking your ship today? Is God shaking your ship today? You know, just from appearances, everybody looks like, man, your lives are so in order just from watching you. But you know, we have a good way of concealing things, don't we? Yeah, we do. And inside, there may be a lot of turmoil going on. Maybe there's a good bit of turbulence going on because you haven't lined up with the Lord. You haven't turned things over unto Him. You've digged in your heels. I was going to say you've dug in your, that's poor, horrible English. You've digged in your heels and you've said no to God, whatever it is that He's wanting you to do. Again, it may be something that is not astronomically huge, but it might be something that you wouldn't want to sneeze at as well. It may be something along the lines of just getting something right with God. Getting something right with a relationship. Oh, it happens all the time, by the way, where we get a little bitterness in our heart towards somebody. Somebody we feel has done us wrong. And so, you know, well, you know, they were like 80% wrong, Lord, and I was only maybe 20% wrong. So they should be the one that comes to me. But the Lord's speaking to your heart and to my heart about, no, I don't care if it was 20% you. You need to get that 20% right. And you need to go and take care of it. So when I look at a congregation this size, I know there's going to be something that's going on between you and somebody else that maybe you have to deal with. And the Lord is pressing you to take care of it. And I've always been grateful whenever I've taken care of it because it's just a burden on you. It's a burden on you that you can't unloose. And you can try to pray it away. You can try to get full of a bunch of distractions or a bunch of entertainment or go play some sports or go try to recreate in some way. And when you're done with that, and even through it, it's there. You know what I'm talking about? And so maybe God is doing that in your heart. Maybe there's something that He wants you to take care of. So I ask that question, is God shaking your ship today? Maybe He's, again, calling you to do something that you don't want to do. Now, understand how in all of this, God is, again, gracious. He's long-suffering, yet He's going to draw a line. God draws a line. And He'll draw that line at some point. So understand all of this, that all the while that we are AWOL from God, and I'm not saying your whole life is AWOL, but maybe in a particular instance. And that's maybe exactly what the Lord has allowed me to bring this message up for. And it might not be, man, your whole life is just going the whole different direction from God. That might not be it at all. But it may be some particular thing in your life that you've not turned that over unto God, and you've not given it unto Him, and God is pressing you upon it. He is tapping you on the shoulder, saying, "What about this issue?" So that's very, very likely what God is doing here today. That something that is happening in our lives that while we're AWOL in regard to this particular thing, that It's going to impact others. It's going to impact others, and we'll see that that's what happens here. We'll get to this last point here of our influence, or Jonah's influence upon the men, but I'm going to personalize it by saying our influence upon the men or upon people. Because when our hearts aren't right with God, even at some small point, it's going to affect somebody. It's going to affect somebody to some degree. And we need to realize that. You take a look here, and we'll get into verses 5 through 14. It's an incredible picture of what these men represent. And I certainly didn't exhaust all of those representations, but they do represent things. They represent people all about us who we influence. You take verses 6, 7, and 8. Well, I'll read verse 5 because I don't want to skip that verse. Then the mariners were afraid. Okay, so the boat, the ship is now in a tempest, and it's just bobbing about like crazy. And these are mariners, all right? These are guys that know how to be out on a ship like this, but they haven't been out on these kinds of waves. And it says the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. So you know they're getting pretty desperate when they're throwing a lot of things overboard. So they've gotten very panicky, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Can you believe that, right in the midst of all that? He's sleeping through this. Well, let me just say this. Doesn't it just grind you to death when you're going through something in your family, and one of the members of the family is just sleeping like, what's the problem? I'm okay. I'm getting good rest. You ever gotten bitter? That's probably a bitterness issue right there. You get bitter toward that. How can you sleep when we're going through this? You should be up in the middle of the night biting your fingernails all the way down to the third knuckle. Right? Come on. What is going on with you? Well, for a different reason, Jonah is just fast asleep. Not because he's right with God, but I think this was his escape. Or maybe he was just plumb worn out. So he's fast asleep, as it says there. And then we look at verses 6 through 8, where it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us. Listen, the lot has fallen upon you. Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Matthew chapter 6 says that we are to be salt and light, right? We're to be salt and light, and those are very, very good things. However, Jonah was not a picture of that. Certainly not. Jonah was not a picture of that. Now, is our poor walk, maybe even a walk of resistance against God, is it affecting others? Now, sometimes we might have a bit of denial about that. But you just think, maybe God has put his finger upon something here today in your life. Is it affecting somebody else? Is it affecting your spouse? Is it affecting your kids? Is it affecting extended family? Is it extending neighbors? Is it affecting people in the church? Again, quite often, we don't even like to give those thoughts any kind of credence. Sometimes we just like to go on our merry way without that. But if we go before the Lord and seek his face and ask the Lord to reveal some things, the Lord is good at revealing things. And he can show us where there's a problem, and he wants it to be dealt with. Are we affecting others? I've known many who've gotten their hearts right with God and then patched up a bad relationship. Oh, many. I think we probably all do. We know somebody that said, you know what? Yeah, this thing is not going right, and I just need to take the first step and get it done, get it taken care of. Because I can think about some times when, You know, I've brought this up before a long time ago, where I had a roommate in Bible college that we just didn't end up getting along. I thought it was an 80 on his part and 20 on my part. I think I'm pretty accurate. I don't know about that. But I felt like he was kind of a jerk. He's a missionary in China, by the way, now. So somewhere along the lines, after that relationship, he got his heart right with God or something. He got away from that jerk part of himself. I struggled with that, and I remember just not having a good attitude. And I remember sometimes I would go, and in the mornings, wake up in the dorm, and go, and there was a little hill off to the side. I'd go over there and just pray. And I remember having some times of prayer. And I remember during that time I prayed, and God was laying it on my heart. You think things are good between you and Greg? I'm like, no. You know how, as a kid, when your parent scolds you, and you just go, not good, not good. And the Lord said, you take care of that. And I remember going back to the dorm. And I don't remember the time frame. I'm not sure if it was right that very day. But I remember going back to the dorm and finding Greg there by himself. And I remember coming in, and I remember feeling like this big. I remember feeling like I could, if the door was closed, I still could have walked under the door and got into my room, you know. And I remember talking to Greg and just telling him, hey, I just want to tell you, I've been a jerk. I just haven't had the best attitude towards you. And I just want to ask that you'll forgive me. And we had a good talk. And you know what? That thing got settled. And I walked out like I was 10 feet tall because I'd gotten something right. And you know that that's the case with you whenever you've gotten something right. So maybe that's an issue right now. Maybe there's something that just needs to be taken care of. And God will help you to do that. We'll take a look here at verses 9 and 10 as we get along. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Well, you know, he spilled his guts, and they went, you mean you're a Hebrew and you're away from your God? Well, no wonder what's happening unto us. So these men, they look to me, they represent to me a picture of our consciences that accuse us because of our waywardness. Folks, again, when our hearts aren't right, God's going to deal with us. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and he's going to point out some things that are not right in our lives, and they're not going, and we're going to be miserable until we get them right. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 1 John chapter 3 verses 19 through 21 says this, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And what that speaks about is just making sure our hearts are right with God. And there won't be condemnation there, because there is a condemnation of the believer. We know a lost person is condemned, and they're on their way to hell. The condemnation of a believer is when their hearts are just not right with God. And that's why we've got to make sure that they stay right with God. And if God lays and presses something on your heart and on my heart, let's make sure to do it. Let's make sure to get things taken care of, because that's the place where you'll be most happy. That's the place where you'll thrive best. But even greater than that, that's the place where you most honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it ought to be for that reason above all reasons. Amen? And so, again, I press it upon you that if there's something you've got to take care of, how good is a church when there's a church full of people who have taken care of those issues? Because if we do that, the Spirit of the Lord says, this is a place where I want to be right in the middle of. Because these people they're determined to make sure their hearts are right. You know, if we come to church and we've got a problem with that person over there on the other side, or that person up the middle aisle, and then we don't know, well, it's handshaking time, I'm just going to go around this way. and stay as far away as that from that person as I possibly can, because that guy's a dirty dog. That's not right. It's not right. We got to get our hearts right. 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. Let's read those verses. Then said they unto him, what shall we do then? Or what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. I think Jonah was just to the point where he was just miserable, because he knew his heart wasn't right. And he said, just throw me overboard. I'll just drown and I'll go be with the Lord. But I don't want to go through this torment that I'm going through. I think that's a big part of it. He says, just throw me overboard. I'm creating nothing but mayhem for this ship. So just toss me overboard. And verse 13 and 14 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. Again, you know, you look and you see some pictures here. You see some things that these men represent to me. They're a picture of some that even try to seek to help you in your backslidden state. God, God is just good. Sometimes he'll bring people in your life. The Bible says, what does it say? I think in Romans chapter 2, for the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God, sometimes, I think of this many times, when my heart was not right, and I was away from the Lord, and I knew I was not where I was supposed to be, God brought some blessings in my life. And that just kind of took me down to my knees more than anything. Wouldn't that you? I mean, if somebody shows an act of kindness to you who you have been very, very harsh with, does not that affect you? Yeah, I'm hearing a real muffled, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, we know it's a yes. Yes, it is. When somebody does something good for you, sometimes that, oh, my goodness, that's the killer. That's the one that sometimes just drives us to the Lord. There are many times when I've said to the Lord, Lord, look what you did for me, and I've just been a total wipeout for you. I haven't been doing what I should. My heart hasn't been right. I haven't been rejoicing in the things that are right. Not that it's like evident. I mean, I'm in church and doing all of that, but you know my heart. And my heart just hasn't been there, and look what you did for me. And you know, that has taken me to my knees so many times. So many times, and got me back in order with the Lord. The Lord's just so good. He's using some men here who, what tie do they have to Jonah? This is a Hebrew. They should have said, you want to get thrown overboard? Hey, we'll throw you overboard in a nanosecond. But they didn't do it. They're like, no, we're trying to make this work while you're still on board. I don't know, I just see the mercies of God there. I don't know that I see it all, but I just see the mercies of God. And God is good that when we're going through some things, he's merciful to you and I. But yet he's still pressing. And then you look here at verse 15, and it says this, so they took up Jonah finally and cast him forth into the sea. Finally, they just said, enough is enough. I think, yeah, you're probably right. We got to throw you overboard. And the sea ceased from her raging. Finally, the men are forced to do again what they would do in what any one of us would do in that situation. They finally cast him forth. Okay, you want to go overboard? Well, I guess at some point we got to throw you over, because it's going to be all of us if you stay on board. I think about what John chapter 15 and verse 6 says. It says, if any abide not in me, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples in John chapter 15. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, the Lord, there's some things in our life that the Lord has to cast out. And I don't want to go down this whole road in John chapter 15. There's just a great message there. But there are some things that have to be cast out, some things that have to be pruned and separated. And so I think there's a good picture of some things that the Lord is trying to just get cast out. And sometimes, you know, he uses men to cast us out. Not not into the fire of hell, but into a purging, that God can purge us and get our lives in a better place. And this is the same. This is what's happening with Jonah. And maybe this is happening in your life, where the Lord is taking you into a place where, all right, there's some struggles and some challenges in my life that are happening. And it's not just the normal kind. It's maybe some that the Lord has allowed in your life because of the fact that maybe you've dug in your heels and you're not where you ought to be. And now we look at how the sea ends its raging. Verse 16, we get into there, and it says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly after the sea had ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So the men, they fear God, and what just happened? Can you imagine how that took place? From the vehement wind and the waves and the tumult that they were experiencing, and all of a sudden, Jonah is cast out, and this thing just settles down. And these men, they offer a sacrifice. They make vows. Again, pretty sad, all because of a believer's stubbornness. Now, you know, you'd like to think that it turned out well for those men. Hopefully they turned to the God of the Jews. Hopefully they turned to Jehovah God and put their trust in Him. We don't find out how it all played out with them. But they saw God in all of this. Isn't it a sad thing sometimes when lost people can see God more in a situation than we can? Because our hearts are not where they ought to be. So now Jonah has been thrown overboard. And we'll finish up here, because we're just going to finish up here in this chapter. This verse just stands alone here. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Yeah, a great fish indeed, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So verse 17 stands alone without any question. The Lord creates this picture that has immense meaning to it in His dealings with Jonah. He prepares this great fish that swallows up Jonah for 3 days and three nights. And we know what that's a clear picture of. That's what the Lord Jesus referred to that I read earlier in Matthew chapter 12. So no matter the situation, the Lord is going to be glorified in some form or fashion. Whatever it is that takes place in our life, whether we're not in a good place or whether we are in a good place. I like these two verses, Proverbs, and they're both out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, as we wrap up here. Proverbs 20 and verse 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? So, and then I'll read Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And you know what that's saying? That just speaks to God's foreknowledge. Because God can see the decisions that we made and the direction that we were going, and He can come over here without tampering with our will, as I've said before, because He doesn't do that. He allows us to make those decisions, but yet He crafts them in such a way that it leads to His glory and to His honor. God is just remarkable to do that. The Bible's full of it. Samson is a great example of that. Samson kept making his own decisions, but God used them for His purposes. God used them to wipe out some Philistines. Probably not to the level that He would have if Samson would have just obeyed, but he used that in that same way. And so that's what's going on here. He's taking the direction that Jonah's going, and he's using it in a way that will honor Him. The question is, will He take our foolishness and our foolish ways to bring the message of Christ to lost sinners? Is He going to use a bad example on our part, maybe to get a hold of somebody's life? Will he need to take us through the ringer because we haven't submitted ourselves unto Him, because we haven't allowed Him to do in our life what He wants to do? Wouldn't it be much better if He could use a submitted vessel to point people to His Son? I think that's a much better way. You know, we know that He gets swallowed, as verse 17 says, and we know chapter 2 speaks to all of that. the whale vomits him out. He has that second chance to go, and he preaches. I don't think he looked just like he did the second time when he was going than he did the first time. Can you imagine what you look like coming out of a whale's belly? And the Lord used him as he preached, and those people got right. Those people trusted God. They repented. But don't you think Jonah said to himself, I wish I had done it right the first time. I could have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. So I say this to you, boy, save yourself a lot of trouble if you're going down a road right now that you don't want to turn from. And God's put his hand on you. He's put his finger on that. It's a whole lot better to stop in your tracks and go, you know what? I'm just going to create more problems for myself. I may eventually get right, and God may accomplish his purposes through my life eventually, but I may have to go through a whole lot of rough road needlessly that I don't have to go through. You know, Jonah would have preached. He wouldn't have gotten swallowed by a whale, but he did. And the Lord used it as a great picture of something, didn't he? But I don't know how much Jonah appreciated that, because he realized it was because of my foolishness. So folks, let's just think about where we're at. Think about maybe what God's speaking to your heart about. Maybe some things that, are you going down a road right now, maybe with some small little thing, and the Lord says, listen, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'm not going to just turn away from the one little thing and thinking, oh yeah, you're doing 98%. No, that one little thing's important. And that one little thing is it's a problem. It's like a sliver in your finger. Yeah, the rest of your body's fine, but that one little sliver, it creates a whole problem, doesn't it? And the Lord says, I want that sliver to get taken care of. And so if God's spoken to you, I hope you'll respond to him. If you're here today without Christ, then the Bible speaks very clearly about, we see that picture of what took place. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and went to the cross and was buried and rose again. He wants to save you today. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can know him as your personal Savior. Let's go ahead. We'll go before the Lord in prayer. We'll go before the Lord. First of all, let's bow our heads and be in a spirit and attitude of prayer. That's how I'll phrase that. In just a moment, we'll pray. But as as Vicky comes to play and Brother Jason's going to lead us in a hymn, if God's spoken to you about maybe whatever it is, maybe he's put your finger on something. Maybe it seems like it's kind of small. Well, nothing's too small with the Lord. And if the Lord puts his finger on it, then you and I ought to take heed and do the right thing. And so make the decision today if that's something that the Lord has prompted you to do. Do what's right. If you're here without Christ, my counsel to you is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Step out in the aisle and come up. We'll show you from his word how you can be saved. Father, we thank you today. We pray you'll help us. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. Help us to see this big example that Jonah sets before us. Help us not to put him in some category all by himself, like we could never do something like this. Help us to realize that when we stop and we go the other direction, we've done basically the same thing. Lord, help us to walk with you. Lord, if there's something in our lives that's not right, help us to get our hearts right with you. Maybe you've laid that out clearly in different lives. I don't know. Lord, I know that you've certainly done that with me from time to time, many times. Help us to make sure our hearts are right. Help us to look at this example of Jonah to make sure that our hearts are right before you. And if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray, Lord, you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn book. Brother, if you'll lead us.
Amen. 8:6. Have thine own way, Lord.